The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on a break!
With Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, Ambar Garcia, and Derek Eagleton.
Oh.
Okay. It is Wednesday, December 21st, 2022, season 18, episode number 94. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break, live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. We're presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. Thank you to our producer, Chris Beam, for bringing a little holiday cheer with some good Christmas music there.
That was good.
That was pretty good stuff. Okay. Yeah, nice little beat to it. Do you like it?
Sure. It was outstanding. Why is all this Grinch stuff?
Nothing. I'm just trying to make sure you're in a good mood for Christmas.
You call me a Grinch.
I know. It's not as...
People used to call me Saint Nick all the time. Like, for other reasons.
For what other reasons?
Just because I'm Saint.
That look on Amber's
face. Saint,
like, saint where?
New Orleans
Saint.
When do you ever put Saint with Nick?
No.
We covered the Saints last couple years ago. And we may be there again.
Welcome to the show. We appreciate you guys joining us. Today we're talking Cowboys versus Eagles. Today we're going to get into the Eagles' offense versus the Dallas defense. We'll talk some more about this defense, too. I know Jayron Kearse had some things to say yesterday that I thought were really interesting. But let's start first. I want to look at the bigger picture around the Philadelphia game. I think all of us coming into maybe, let's say, 2 weeks ago, we had this game kind of circled on the calendar as this is going to be a real telltale game. It is going to be an important game. And then the Cowboys lose last weekend, and you're in a situation where basically Dallas has to win out and Philly has to lose out in order for Dallas to be able to have a shot at the NFC East title. But despite all that, they actually already clinched a playoff spot. My question for you guys is, how important is this game at this point?
Very important. Very important, because you're not playing – great football right now, and you need to figure out. I mean, this is the time of year to start doing that, and I think that this is going to be a very, very tough matchup, and I think it's important, because you need to be the number five seed. There's no doubt about it. You've got to be the five. The difference between playing at Tampa or Carolina or Atlanta or whoever, New Orleans, is way different than playing at Minnesota or San Francisco.
Yeah. Really, Minnesota?
Yes, really, Minnesota.
No, I'm just messing with you.
No, I think it's absolutely an important game. And the problem that you're running into is that you need to play like a team that's really desperate. You need to – I'm one of these guys that always believes in the desperate team theory. And to Nick's point, you know, the Jacksonville game, the way it ended, it's a bad way. You had that game in hand. You're up. You know, the team, you know, you had them beat, and you just couldn't finish the game like you finished the game the week before. I think they need to develop some consistency the last three games. I think all these next three games are really – now, it might not be important as far as, you know, where it looks in the standings. I understand, like, Nick's right about where the seeding is. You want to go to one of these – NFC South teams. You do not want to have to go back up to Minneapolis and let them figure all that out again. So to me, but you need to find a way to not just be spewing oil going into the playoffs. You know, you need
That's
to,
a good way to put it.
You
yeah.
just you need yeah, I mean, it's a racing term. I mean, it you don't you you know you're running well, all of a sudden, you know, the brake hub in the 24 hours, the Rolex 24, let's go, and now you're not winning the race anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, that's my experience of racing. And so to me, the Cowboys are in that same way. Yeah, they're probably not going to win the division, but finish this thing out. You know, if you can steal rest, whatever you have to do, I you know, but you need to be playing your absolute best. You look at the teams that have had success in the playoffs, it's the ones that are scrambling their ass off. And there's that word ass again. That, you know, you're scrambling your ass off to get into, you know, the postseason. And you're battle tested, and you every week is a playoff game. I kind of feel like the Cowboys need to treat these games like playoff games. You know, I mean, you know, find your best way, get some consistency, have something to be able to hang your hat on when you have to go play in that first round.
to me, this game has been the most important game since, I believe it was week 6 when they last played the Eagles. Since then, I've been looking forward to this game anxiously because they were so close. And I don't care who the quarterback is for them this week, and it does not matter. The Cowboys need to go out there and win. They're at home. If they don't win this, I mean, it just, it does change your tune on what this team can even do in the playoffs. Just talk about moral victories. This is exactly what this would be for the Cowboys. They need to lift their head up and beat them, and beat them good. If they do, I don't want it to be a close game either. Like, yes, it'd be nice if they go out there and win, but it'd be great if they can just, like, take over them and show things that they haven't been able to show in the past 2 weeks, like areas of improvement, because then that gives you hope on what's to come, like especially on defense. If they start doing certain things, even let's say it's a close game, but they do certain things like in the running game with the secondary, things that give you hope in like, okay, there's some hope there. They can improve in the next few weeks, and then in the playoffs, they can be a lot better than what we've seen, especially this last week. So those are the things that I'm looking at, but they definitely need to go out there at AT&T Stadium and beat the Eagles.
You guys think it's a realistic thing at this point at all? Even if, let's assume for a second that Hurts is going to be out for 1, 2, maybe 3 games, do you think it's at all realistic that Dallas can somehow pull 3 wins together and that Philly loses 3, or is this really just playing for the 5th seed?
No, I don't believe that. I don't believe they can do that. I mean, that you're basically, you're saying that 6 things have to happen. And really don't have to have 6 because
one of them goes together. Or 2 of them go together.
But no, he just said it. They need to establish some consistency. I find it hard to believe the Cowboys could win 3 straight games at this point right now, especially when it's just so hard to keep everyone healthy. I'd have a hard time thinking that. And then I don't think you go 13-1. And then lose 3 in a row. I mean, the Eagles are a good football team, and they're not going to lose 3 in a row.
I'll say this, though, about I never thought I'd see a team come back from 34 points down in a football game with 5 minutes left to go, and basically in the third, and all of a sudden they're rallying. That's the NFL. I always say the strange.
You're talking about the Minnesota game.
Yeah, strange lady thing. I mean, I just believe this. The saving grace that you might have in this game, or the way this season's going to end, or could end. You get a victory. The Saints the following week are playing against Philadelphia. They're playing for a division title. They are fighting to try in a bad division. They're trying to get just, if they can find a way to get, if they find a way to get 2 more victories, maybe they win this division. Mm-hmm. So you got the Giants who beat the Commanders the other day. Now they're trying to play. Mm-hmm. You know, you got teams that aren't, have the U-Haul and in the parking lot, and they got 1 foot in the parking lot and 1 foot in the locker room. You know, you got teams that legitimately playing the Eagles that are trying to win football games, and that's, maybe you're not good enough. Maybe you're the Giants and you're not good enough, and maybe you're the Saints and you're not good enough. But that's at least your hope.
And on the flip side, though, the Cowboys also face those teams as well. Yeah. Tennessee will be fighting for a playoff spot, and so Washington. Are
the Commanders. Yeah, it works both ways. Yeah. So, like you said, if you can find the consistency to beat these teams to get in, and all of a sudden you're on a high going in and they're on a downward slide, you know, that momentum is huge in the playoffs. It really, really is.
I mean, if Micah Parsons' analysis is right, then I guess the quarterback shouldn't really matter that whole lot. Yeah. I'm just saying these, if it's scheme-wise and what they're doing just offensively with the kind of plays they're calling, it should still work for them.
Well, but here's the thing, and that's the part I wonder about for Philadelphia, and we'll see how hurt this shoulder is. Like, we don't really know. We'll find out a lot about that by how much they're willing to play him, and if they change what they do schematically, because when you think about it, their scheme probably does have to change. I think what makes them so dangerous offensively is the fact that quarterback can run. And he can run physically. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if the shoulder really is a problem, even if he plays, does it make them say, hey, we're going to call a few less of those plays where he's actually running the ball? And maybe he's going to run the ball a little bit differently. We've seen it with Dak. Nick, you talk about it all the time. Mm-hmm. In order for Dallas to be successful, Dak has to be the Dak from 2016 and 17 where he was an aggressive runner. He took what was there, and if you were coming to tackle him, you better bring your hat, right? So it's that kind of thing where it does make me think, will they have to change schematically what they're doing offensively? And if they are, can they be as successful? Can they take advantage of all those opportunities and all those skill players that they have with a Gardner Minshew who doesn't give you that same running ability? Maybe some running ability, but not the same kind of running ability that Jalen Hurts does.
I keep thinking back at the Houston game and them changing quarterbacks and kind of what that did to the Cowboys defense. I mean, it threw them off completely, I think, for the Cowboys defense, where they didn't really know how to answer against the switch at the quarterback position. So it just keeps – it's going to be a tough game. Regardless who goes out there and plays, it's just going to be a tough game for the Cowboys.
I think that the running quarterback gives them problems. I think it's the misdirection that gives them even more problems.
I agree with that.
I think it's they do not handle movement going one way and then being able to react. They're so trained and go get it that movement gives them problems. Then all of a sudden, movement turns into big linemen in front and pullers and, you know, guys like that. And so the running quarterback, I mean, you watch Hurts play, they got him hurt. I mean, they did. But as much as they run him, you kind of figure something like this was going to happen.
Sure. Yeah.
That he's going to, you know, it might not be a separation or a sprint, whatever it is, but the way that they run him, like he's like a power. It's like a power running game with him. It's a direct snap. It's pullers. It's him taking off running. You know, he breaks the pocket. He runs. What happens? He gets whacked in the middle of the field, shoulder, everything going into the ground. You know. That's your guy right there. And their offense, like you said, Derek, is based on his ability to take the ball and run it in certain situations.
But if you're the Eagles, wouldn't you want to just sit him out? Like, you're in the playoffs already. Like, it doesn't seem smart. And I'm not saying Jalen Hurts, whether he wants to play or not, him as a player, you as a head coach, and you as a team, wouldn't you want him to just sit down, heal?
Yeah, they put him in the situation. They really did.
Well, yeah, but
I mean, I think that makes sense. The only issue you still have to think about for them is they have not clinched that number one seed.
Yeah.
And the number one seed gets a huge advantage. They're the only team that won't be playing on wild card weekend. And so until they clinch that, if I were them, I would be like, we got to do that first. And so we got to give ourselves the best chance to win.
Minnesota's still there.
Yeah.
But to her point, is it better to sit now and get ready to play next week against the Saints? You know, like, he sits this week. A lot can happen if Jalen Hurts sits this week and the Cowboys win. And then they go and say, okay, now he's better, he's rested, he goes and they beat the Saints. If that happens, that scenario where they lose to the Cowboys without him and he goes and beats the Saints,
they could rest him the next week.
They could rest him the next week, and he wins the MVP. He wins the MVP right there because – you see the value of him.
Does the same thing happen if they win this week? They get to put on those hats that you talked about right there at AT&T Stadium. I think they may clinch at that point the number one seed. They get all that done this week, and then they got 2 weeks.
But you're taking a huge risk. Let's say he re-injures. Yes, because he's already banged up, right?
Well, it depends on how – like that's the part. We don't know how serious this injury is. And so, yes, you're right. If it's a serious injury, maybe
regardless,
so.
Regardless, I mean,
I know this. If my shoulder hurts, I don't want to throw it 50 times.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get hit again.
And so then you're screwed for whatever is to come in the playoffs. I'm just saying, like, it just seems that the risk versus reward – doesn't seem worth it. If I'm them, let's say the same situation was happening with Dak, I would not want to play Dak this weekend. Sit him down, and let's see for next week. I'm more on the let's be safe.
I would be
take a risk like that.
If I was them,
honestly,
I would be confident they can win this game with Gardner Minshew at quarterback.
I do too.
Yeah.
Looking at what this defense has been doing.
Usually, when you play the Eagles late in the year, three of their five offensive linemen are on the injured list. It's not the case. All five of these guys are clean and ready to go. You get Dallas Goedert back. You got Sanders, Gainwell, Boston Scott. You got running backs. You got the defense. It's, you know, Cowboys won four or five games. Cowboys beat Cincinnati with the backup quarterback. This team can beat you with Gardner Minshew at quarterback. That's the thing. It's not like that the Cowboys are dealing with a lot of stuff injury-wise. This team isn't. And that's why they got the record they do.
And one of the reasons why they might think that is exactly what Jayron Kearse talked about yesterday with regard to the defense. We're going to take a first break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of those comments and how right he is, or if you guys disagree. We'll talk about that when we come back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a 3-hour-long ritual of jumping, singing, and toasting Miller Lite in 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them Cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the Cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
Want to use what the pros use? How about the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys? Jack Black. Right now you can get the Jack Black Starter, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The starter includes 4 Jack Black skincare favorites plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word TEAMJB. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys. The Jack Black Starter, $10, free shipping.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far, with up to $10,000 towards your down payment, or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less. The satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back to the break.
Get the hottest gifts in the game for the ultimate Cowboys fan. From jerseys to gift cards, the Dallas Cowboys Pro Shop has you covered. Stop by the nearest store or log on to .dallascowboys.com, a Fanatics experience, and score a holiday shopping winning touchdown.
Welcome back. Second segment of the break, live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. This segment brought to you by blockchain.com. Let's talk about Jayron Kearse. He had some interesting comments that he made yesterday to the media about the defense. Chris, I think you have that pulled up for us. Let's take a listen.
Right now, we talk about being one of the best defenses in the league. In the past 2 weeks, we haven't shown it at all. So, I mean, you are what you put on tape. And, you know, at this point, we haven't gotten the job done. We haven't gotten the job done at all. And just speaking solely from the defense, we scored 34 points on Sunday. We should come out with the victory. We should come out with the victory, and it should be a comfortable victory if we claim to be the defense that we think we are.
That was Jayron Kearse, safety for the Cowboys, talking about the defense and their struggles over the last couple weeks. It's kind of interesting to me that, and our show is included with this.
Yeah.
It seems interesting to me that coming out of this game, there's been so much talk about Dak Prescott, so much talk about Noah Brown. We talked about the coordinator yesterday. We've talked about a lot of different things. We've had some conversation about the defense, but quite frankly, I think Jayron Kearse hit the nail on the head. That game on Sunday was about the defense not being what we thought they were, because what we saw early in the season, they were giving up less than 20 points a game.
Yeah,
you're giving up that few points, 34 should be, again, a way to comfortably win this game. Question for you guys is it as simple as the personnel that they've lost, or do you think there's something deeper going on with this defense?
I think the answer is both. I do think that I'm never one to say, well, that's just an excuse about injuries. No, injuries matter. That's why people get paid differently in the league, because some people are just better than others. And so it's okay to say that they're hurting, especially when you keep having the injuries at the same position. So it's a tough one at cornerback right now, and it's been a struggle. But I do think, and I'll let Brian speak to this even more, about I think that teams have figuring out some ways to kind of neutralize Micah Parsons and neutralize the things that the Cowboys do the best.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I will say this for Jerron Kearse, one of the most guttiest goal line stands I've ever seen to win a game. You know, and in a game that it was a 1-11 team you're playing, but you needed to find a way to win that game.
Yeah,
that game could have just been an absolute disaster if you lose that.
Yeah.
And the offense throws an interception, and the ball's on the 8-yard line, and you goal line stand to get them the ball back. So I see what Kearse is doing here. He's a stand-up guy. This defense is really, really banged up. But the first half of the season, they've got you to this point. They've got you to the point where you're now in the tournament. You know, you won games with a backup quarterback because of your defense. This is about the offense now. I'll keep saying this. You know, when you're really beat up and compromised, somebody else has to pick things up. I need to hear offensive players saying, listen, we got to help our defense here. You know, they're beat up over there a little bit, but we'll pick this thing up. I heard Kearse talking about defense needs to play better. I didn't hear anything about the offense needs to play better. I don't, you know, they asked Dak the questions about turnovers and stuff. Oh, I need to be better. I need to stay, you know, don't need to be aggressive. Need to think about things, you know. It's now time for the offense, you know. And they're too beat up to play the way they need to play. And Nick, I appreciate you acknowledging the thing about how teams have figured some things out here. Absolutely they have. They figured out that, you know what, we could paralyze this defense with movement and with, you know, and with deception and counters and play with their eyes. And when they play with their eyes, the Cowboys aren't as good a defense because they're not always disciplined enough to play. And maybe that's the thing that bothers me the most about it, because you're going to see teams continue to run counters and boots and waggles, and they're going to make you have to defend the whole field that way. But this is really about the offense now. It's about the offense not turning over the football and figuring out how to win these games when this defense is compromised, because I don't think it's going to get any better. You'll have some guys like Bland and those guys probably play better, but some of these other guys they brought in need to step up as well. But also, too, Fowler, Armstrong, yep, Bohanna. You guys have got to figure out something to not let blockers get up on these linebackers that are having problems, too.
You know, I was thinking, it came to my head, I'm like, okay, is what happened to the Cowboys offense last year in the second half of the year now happening to the Cowboys defense this year? Like on the flip side, you know how they
figured something out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like the last year the offense was working really, really good, and then second half of the season they just kind of weren't producing as they should. And now that's not necessarily fair to say about the defense completely, because you have to take into account the amount of injuries. The offense last year was pretty healthy towards the end of the year. But you talk about being able to respond differently with things that you've gotten a glimpse of throughout the season. For example, run defense. That has been the one problem that they consistently had since the beginning of the year. And they haven't necessarily, they've started to improve there, but it never really fully clicked to where they have a definite solution to it and how to respond to how to stop the run. Now, you knew what you had with Kelvin Joseph. I mean, I just don't understand how you get to this point to where he was your best man available and you're playing him out there, and now you're sitting here. Freaking, what week is it into December? We're about to be in Christmas. You're sitting here in the end of December trying to have a cornerback competition. And again, not that you expected Anthony Brown to go down, not that you expected Jordan Lewis to go down either, but you do expect everybody else that's down the line as a backup to be preparing as if the moment was to come. I mean, that's how I assume they handle these practices. You don't just dismiss the guys that are down the depth chart. You keep working them out. But the point is, like, it sucks that we're sitting here about to have like a cornerback competition, trying to figure out, okay, who's the best man to go out there. And they have addressed some things with the signing of some veteran guys, but it's just, it's the way that, and I love Dan Quinn, but I do feel disappointed right now because I thought so highly of him, and I still do, but the way he's handled the past couple of weeks, it's just, I expected better from him.
What did you want different? Because I look at Dan Quinn and I'm like, he's trying. I think he's trying and throwing things. Like, he knew the run defense was a problem. They went out, they got Hankins. Hankins gets hurt. Yeah. He's looking for solutions here. He's trying to figure out how to make it all work together. There's a time he had to move Micah, the linebacker, and made that move and then realized, well, we're not getting any pass rush when I don't have him at defense. Yeah. So he's trying. I don't know what you would want him to do different. At some point, the players, Nick, you talked about this yesterday, some point the players just got to do their jobs, right?
No, you're absolutely right. I think it comes down to the players and to the talent itself, because you've seen Dan Quinn throw guys in there. You talk about Sam Williams when he was first thrown in there. He responded to that. He did good. You talk about Darren Bland throwing him out there. He responded to that. Did good. Now, I guess you do have to put it more.
You got
to
give him credit
talent.
For Armstrong. They got rid
absolutely.
Of, they got rid. Yes. They got rid of, you know. They got
Gregory.
Gregory, and then they say, well, hey, no, this guy's just as good.
And so he has been.
He's had a great eye for the talent development, but I guess
he might have missed on Joseph.
And
he
definitely missed on Joseph.
Yeah, and that seems to me like that's one of those things where, and Brian, you've worked in personnel, so you can speak to this, but you're not going to go 100%. And this is one where I bet right now the people that were in the room saying, I think we can get something out of Joseph, or right now, like, man, we might have messed this one up. Like, it happens. Like,
see,
you're not going to go 100.
That's where, I mean, I come on this show and I'm like.
I apologize, Dan Quinn. I love you. I do. I just had to talk this out. But yes, it comes down to the player and the talent that I'm not a fan of right now.
Well, the thing about it is, I as the former personnel guy, I'm saying, well, do this with Joseph. Do this with Joseph. Do this, and then you see things not work, and you're like, "Man, maybe that was a mess up on our part." Mm-hmm. The personnel guys, we'll wear that one. We'll wear that one. But the thing about it is now, it's you know, you need something to change, and now you're just searching for that change. I mean, they need to get back to being able to rush the passer. Mm-hmm. That's number one. That's their strength, because I've said this before. If they don't rush the passer, they're a very ordinary defense because their secondary can't hold up, especially with the way it's configured right now. It can't hold up well enough.
And, you know, the other thing I'll say is just in this team in general, one thing I love about this coaching staff, and it goes offense, defense too, they are not – we saw for a lot of years with Jason Garrett, they would have a player in, he would be struggling, and they would be like,
never,
I'm just going to keep going with him. And they'll keep going with him. And you're watching, and you get a guy that's at that tackle that gives up six sacks in a game.
Yeah.
Like, that happens, right?
Yeah.
What we've seen is it happened with Josh Ball.
Yeah.
He had those two mistakes. They were like, get somebody else in there. Like, let's get him out. Maybe he just needs to have a break.
Yeah.
Kelvin Joseph last week, two touchdowns. All right, get him out. We need to get somebody else in there.
Yeah.
I actually applaud the fact they're not going to just sit on it and say, well, somehow miraculously the guy's
going to play better. Yeah.
Right. Like, get somebody else. And so for them to have a cornerback competition at this point, it's not ideal. But it's better than the alternative of saying we're just going to trust that Joseph is going to get better. I'd rather them bring in these vets and say, let's just throw what we can throw at it at this point, and let's see how we can get better in this situation.
But you're also – you don't seem to care about what the draft pick status is.
Mm-hmm.
And that not in terms of playing.
Yep.
Now, in terms of keeping him, that's fine. Then that's always going to be the case. But, you know, Chaz Green was a top 100 pick, and they wanted to see what he could do. And Kelvin Joseph is a second-round pick. And, you know, it's not working out. And I don't think that anyone cares right now of what draft status is. Even Jerry on the radio, when asked about him yesterday, said, you know what, sometimes draft picks take a little longer to develop. He didn't call him a bust, but he said sometimes it doesn't matter. Even if you're a high pick, it takes longer for you to develop.
Yep. All right, we're going to take our final break. We'll come back. We're going to talk about the Philadelphia offense versus the Dallas defense. We'll do that in just a moment. This is DallasCowboys.com radio.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field, United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling, United Ag and Turf for winning. the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Little Sweet! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Little Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper is on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's on something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Back to the break.
Help Dak Prescott earn a $25,000 donation to his Faith Fight Finish Foundation by voting him for the 2022 Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award presented by Nationwide. So make sure and go to your tweet and retweet hashtag WPMOY Challenge followed by Dak Prescott through January the 8th. Vote Dak.
Christmas. Welcome back. Final segment of the break.
Three Man of the Year Awards here with the Cowboys.
Nominees.
No, I meant overall.
Oh, yeah.
And if they'll get down to the three finalists.
No, he's talking about overall.
Staubach.
Yes, there have been three guys.
I think it's kind of cool when they have them on their jersey. Yeah. The Walter Payton guy on their jersey. I think that's a good touch.
Yeah, I noticed that when he was getting picked up off the ground and like had a grass stain on it and all that. And he was on the sideline like, well, we just lost the game. And that's when I kind of noticed it. Doesn't matter. I mean,
no, it doesn't.
He got blocked in the back, but
you're not gonna let that one die, are you?
Got blocked in the back.
All right, okay.
I mean, he did.
Welcome back. Final segment.
Wouldn't
of the
matter.
Break.
They still lose by three.
Yeah. Welcome back. Final segment of the break. Live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star, presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. Let's talk Philadelphia offense versus Dallas defense in this final 10 minutes of the show. McCarthy said earlier this week that Dallas is going to prepare for both quarterbacks. My question for you guys, how difficult is that? How difficult is it when you have to prepare for two different quarterbacks, particularly at that position?
I would prepare for Hurts first is what I would do. I would try and just because that's going to be the harder of the prep. Because if all of a sudden, if you see that – now they can also gauge this. You know, you practice, you know, yesterday, you practice today, you practice, you know, so you're going to see during the week the progression of whether he practices or not. If Hurts keeps not practicing, then every day I'm going like preparing for two, preparing for two, preparing for one, preparing for one. That's what I would do, just as I read the injury report. But the harder of the preparation will be for Hurts, so make sure you take care of that. You know, Nick Sirianni, he was like, hey, this guy's Wolverine. He's got superpowers. He can regenerate body parts. You know, I'm like, well, geez, man, put him out there for the U.S. military. I mean, heck, he can save the world, you know, that kind of thing. But you can tell I don't really like Nick Sirianni very much. But the thing about it is,
I think a lot of people
I don't want to call him what Shady called, our guy. So, but anyway, I would prepare for Hurts.
Let's get some ratings, Brian. Let's get some ratings.
I'm about doing my homework to try and I'll tell you.
Watch games?
Yeah, I actually watch games, and I do it for this show too. This is going to be tough, though, and we all know this. We know the Philadelphia Eagles enough to know the A.J. Browns and Smith at wide receiver and, you know, what they bring. The offensive line, Jordan Mailata, Landon Dickerson, they're outstanding. It's a group that with Hurts, it's a hard offense to stop because of the threat of the running quarterback, that ability just to take the snap on second and 10 and run for a first down or break a pocket, you know. So it's about discipline. It's about the ability, and it's very simplistic to say, but it's about tackling. It's about getting bodies to the ball and getting guys on the ground. And, you know, they got back. We'll see how much they get out of Dallas Goedert. But when we played the previous time, Dallas Goedert was the big screen pass guy. You know, that's – people do not want to. Now, if Gardner Minshew is the quarterback, I will feel like that they're going to – you're going to see a lot of Sanders. You're going to see a lot of Gainwell, the running. I don't know if you'll see the quarterback run as much. Mm-hmm. I don't think you'll see the quarterback. Behind him is Ian Book. So, you know, they've got guys that can kind of do the offense, but I don't think you'll see the element of the quarterback running the ball like you do with Hurts. So if that's the case, then be ready for the backs. Be ready for the screen game. They do a lot of combination routes. When I talk about that, it's the, you know, the vertical and then the outs behind it. They kind of work little route combinations, and they make it real easy for Hurts just to have to throw the ball, and they kind of tick, tick, tick down the field. And they could also hit you with the home run ball with Smith. I mean, he could fly. Brown can get down the field. They're really good blocking up front. It's an athletic big line. The movement and all that will be a problem for you in this game. And like I said, they're coming into this game really, really healthy other than at quarterback.
You've watched, obviously, several games, Brian.
I have.
Let me ask you this question. Let's assume that Hurts plays.
Yeah.
Have you been able to – because I think right now he's playing on a level where he's
really
MVP
good.
Status. Yeah. That is how he's playing right now. People can say what they want to say about him. He's playing at that level.
Right.
Have you found an area of his game where you think – that you think is exploitable, and that's something that Dallas's defense can actually exploit.
When you have turnovers in games, you know, in this last game against the Bears, he threw two interceptions, and both of them were off balance, moving backwards, kind of not feet planted throws. Sometimes I'm not going to say he's going to get greedy, but sometimes he trusts his arm a little more than he probably should. So if you're trusting your arm, when he can stand there and throw, I feel like that's game on for him. But when you get him kind of falling back sideways, making him have to make he'll make some bad decisions. He gets away with some bad decisions too. Mm-hmm. But the Bears made him pay for a couple. But balls were floated into areas where, bro, why'd you throw that? Yeah. You know, what were you looking at? Where he was trying to make that, almost like with Dak sometimes. We see Dak that – you know, he's trying to make the big play to Tony Pollard down the sidelines instead of hitting Noah Brown dragging underneath on third down to get the first. You know, he tries to hit the – I think that's the thing with Hurts. When his feet aren't set, I think it's a problem for him because I don't know if he gets enough on the ball. And then his decision-making could be a little wonky there too.
And we said it all along that, you know, with Diggs can cover, you know, pretty much anyone – it's that second receiver. Do you feel like that they have the best second receiver in the league in Devontae Smith?
Yeah.
Combination?
Yeah, the thing about the combination of the two, but I mean, you just talk about the second receivers. I mean, they've played some teams that have had some good – I mean, Minnesota, I think, has a couple of good receivers. But in this situation, Smith is like – he's so – it's like his routes are like big play routes. It's not like, oh, let's catch a screen and just kind of go, or oh, it's a little slant, or oh, it's this. It is like deep or across or down the field. And when he catches the ball, it's generally a big play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that makes him so great at, you know, at as a second receiver. You got a big old A.J. Brown that's going to just do a lot of the inside stuff, catch the ball underneath, you know, that kind of stuff. And then you got Smith that's just going to clear and go, and then they're going to take a shot because, oh, wait, we're covering A.J. Brown here. But all of a sudden you got the clear that's open, and now they hit the ball all the way down the field because they're getting the protection to throw the ball. So he is outstanding just for the big play aspect of the game. I mean, adjusting, you know, making those kinds of catches – He's one of the best.
We've taken kind of a break from like the amount of penalties that the Cowboys have been getting.
Like how you call it, we took a break.
A little one.
Took a break.
A tiny one.
Called him out for that, so I might have to call him out again to keep it going.
My question for you was going to be like, do you think that on defense, because now you're trying to make up for the type of game you put out last week, and you're trying to get these guys, and these guys are trying to like make plays, tackle the here and that. Do they now become a little more what's the word? Susceptible?
Passive? Accessible?
Susceptible.
Maybe? Susceptible.
Yeah, there you go.
Making those types of mistakes that now you're kind of drawing penalty calls on yourself.
Yeah, I was really worried about, with Joseph playing in press coverage, you know, I was really kind of worried about him if getting holding penalties and things like that. I was checking to see real quick if I knew who the crew was for this game, because sometimes I could tell, because last week's game there, the official Sean Smith's crew was very much unnecessary roughness. Had one of those. Mm-hmm. You had one of those in the game, you know, with Williams. They were very much defensive holding and defensive PI. And they were also OPI, offensive pass interference, which they didn't call in the game at all. There was a couple of different opportunities mm-hmm. where they could have definitely, they could have called it on Jacksonville for a push off. I felt like Joseph got pushed. There were a couple of different times. Routes Kirk pushed one time that they could have called. So.
It just makes it worse.
I think it's a lot to do with what the crew is, what the crew's going on. I mean, I think that's they don't have the crews up yet who's reffing this game yet. So, tomorrow we'll come in here or we'll talk about it and I'll be able to tell you like, hey, you need to worry about these penalties this week. But I think the Cowboys have done a really good job. The pre-snap stuff, that's the stuff I think that kills this team a lot.
How about 28 penalties in 3 games in November, including 13 Thanksgiving Day game. But 3 games in November, 28 penalties. Mm. 3 games in December,
9?
8.
Alex Kemp
is the referee.
They
Alex Kemp?
Break.
Yeah, they took a break for sure.
But my thing is, reasoning or thought in this whole thing is because this is a huge game for you. Now you're maybe just trying too hard to make the play or whatever, where now you become a little reckless in that aspect to now you're drawing some unnecessary penalties on yourself. It just the thought that in case some of these younger guys or whatever, where that could maybe become a problem again, even though they've taken a short break from that.
You know, another thing about this Cowboys defense, the last 2 games they've given up they've allowed their opponents to have a season high in third down percentage. Houston mm-hmm. at 46.7, that barely was the most, but then Jacksonville 66.7.
Wow.
Yeah.
8 out of 12.
Yeah, you ain't gonna win a lot of games
getting off the field.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and a lot of that too is the running to keep it manageable.
Yeah, stay ahead of the chains mm-hmm. bit. Yeah, it's kind of one of those cliches we always talk about, but in this case, it's staying ahead of the chains works for teams that are playing the Cowboys right now.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys joining us. We're back tomorrow. We're going to jump into Philadelphia's defense versus the Dallas offense, and we're going to wrap it up.
Challenge.
It's going to be our final show of the week before we head into Christmas, so make sure you join us. We'll get you guys ready for Cowboys Christmas Eve versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Till then, for Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, Amber Garcia, I'm Derek Eagles, and this has been The Break, live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?